Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 6. In verse 41, now the Jews murmured and found fault and grumbled about Jesus because he said, I am myself the bread of life that came down from heaven. They kept asking, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then can he say, I have come down from heaven? So Jesus answered them, stop grumbling and saying things against me one to another. This is in the Amplified Version. Isn't that like a great answer from Jesus? Stop grumbling and speaking against me. Mind you, this is God talking. In Exodus 16:8, you have a situation similar to this. Moses said to the people when they were complaining, the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. Now, they were complaining against Moses. But Moses said, the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? As in, who am I? I'm just Moses. Who's Aaron? He's just Aaron. We're just these guys. But the Lord hears your complaints which you complain against him. Your complaints are not against us, but they're against the Lord. Why did he say that? Because it was the Lord who brought them into the wilderness. It was the Lord who took them out of Egypt. They just looked at the guy that God was using to carry it out, but he wasn't making it happen. Moses did not part the Red Sea. God did. Moses was just a guy. God said to him, hold out your staff. Okay, I'll hold out the stick. And then God parts the Red Sea. He didn't part the Red Sea himself. God parted it. He didn't make bread rain from heaven. He didn't bring quail in the evenings. God did that. But they were blaming Moses, and in truth, they were blaming God because it was God that caused the situation that they are murmuring against. Now, here's the thing about complaining. People complain all the time. It's really not a great idea to complain. It works against you. It does not work for you. Now, you may think that you're complaining about people or circumstances. But in truth, you're complaining about God. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are from God. So if I'm complaining, God says, you're not complaining about that person. Oh, yes, I am. This is what they're doing. This is what they're saying. No, all things are from God. I'm the one who allowed them to do it. I'm the one who allowed them to say it. You're complaining against me. I allowed it with a purpose in your life, but it's a negative thing. That's to build your character. Remember, tribulation works patience. Patience works experience. Experience works hope. Hope sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Remember that? Romans 5, 3-5. Oh, yeah, God, that's right. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get it now. Well, you know what? Don't be thick. Stop complaining. We complain all the time. Young people, learn not to complain. Tell yourself this because this is reality. In the kingdom of God, we don't complain. We find solutions. In your life, in your family, don't complain. Find solutions. Complaining does not achieve anything. When I was teaching, I used to have a sign. A lot of the teachers do this. No whining. Why? Because complaining doesn't solve things. Don't complain, find solutions. It's simple as that. You will not solve your problem by complaining, but you will make it worse. Guarantee it. Now, in Numbers 21:5, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Again, they were complaining. Israel had a problem. They liked to complain. And pretty much throughout that 40 years in the desert, they just complained for 40 years. That's one of the reasons. It was really because of the spies, but the spies were complaining about the circumstance in the promised land. And that's why they didn't enter when they were supposed to enter. They entered in 40 years later because God said, okay, fine. You're not going to enter when I told you because you've taken on this negative attitude toward my promise. You didn't believe me when I told you. You look at the circumstances and you let the circumstances stop you. Fine, you're not going in. Your children are going to go in. 20 years and younger, they're going to go in. Anybody older, forget it. You're going to drop dead in the wilderness. God wasn't happy with that. Now, over here in Numbers 21:5, they're complaining again. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? That's right, God brought you up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. That was His plan, that was His purpose. Are you stupid? I mean, it doesn't say that in so many words, but kind of read between the lines. Are you stupid? That's what's going on there. Are you stupid? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. A little bit of whining there. Moses needed a big no whining sign. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people in Israel died. God said, okay, I'll give you something to complain about. You want something difficult? I gave you all this great stuff. You want something difficult? Okay, fine. You're going to complain against the great stuff? I'll give you the alternative. And the Lord sent these fiery serpents, poisonous snakes. They burned when they bit you. That's why they call them fiery. And people died. Why did He do that? Because they were complaining. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Now, the thing about complaining is that you magnify negativity over God's faithfulness when you complain, and it damages us and it consumes us. When God sent the fiery serpents, He was just showing them what's going on with their soul. Complaining is dangerous for you. It's not healthy for you. It can lead to all kinds of mental problems. And it magnifies negativity and it diminishes God's faithfulness in your estimation. You get into complaining, you may as well just hit your hand with a hammer. Because the effects will be similar. You'll break some bones in your hand and you'll break some things in your capacity with God in your personal life. Complaining is just magnification of the negative as opposed to magnification of God's faithfulness. That's all it is. Now, we might think like they did that our complaining is justified. Well, this is what's going on and I'm tired of it. I don't like it. It's so difficult. What have you? You think it's justified, but it's not. And God doesn't like it. Sometimes people have trouble when you tell them God doesn't like something. I will tell you right now, God does not like complaining. He doesn't want to hear complaining because complaining is magnifying negatives against God's faithfulness. It's saying, God, you're not faithful in this situation. And God says, excuse me? That's offensive to God. Complaining is offensive to God. That's why the fiery serpents. And so the people said, they have sinned. We've spoken against the Lord, against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the fiery serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. It was a brass snake. Make it, set it on a pole, and it will be that anyone who is bitten, anyone who's going through these negative things, anyone who's going through difficult circumstances, anyone who's got problems, when he looks at it, he shall live. That's God's solution for complaining. Now, you have an old sin nature, every human does. The only one who didn't was Jesus. You have an old sin nature. It's in your genetics. That sin nature has to be tamed. But it's not possible to tame it. Because that sin nature takes over. And if you indulge it, it will take over everything. So God's solution to the old sin nature is not to make it better or to change your circumstances. Because the problem was not the circumstances, the problem was the sin nature. God's solution to the old sin nature is to remove its effects. And ultimately, in the end, to remove it. When you go to heaven and you get your glorified body, it's not going to have a sin nature. This body on earth does, because we still have Adam and Eve's DNA. But in heaven, God will recreate your DNA. It will not have a sin nature in it. That's the glorified body. That's why it's glorified. Because you have a brand new set of DNA that has no sin nature. But until then, the solution is the cross. You gaze at Christ on the cross, you gaze at the finished work, you gaze at the mercy of God, you gaze at the faithfulness of God that comes through the finished work, and you're not going to be bothered by the negative circumstances. Even though you have to go through the negativity, it won't be negative to you. Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you in John 15, that your joy may be full. He didn't say, I've taken away your negative circumstances that your joy may be full. He said, no, I've given you my word that your joy may be full. The word of God, let me explain how this works, because sometimes people think, well, pick up a cross, and they have this mental picture of themselves picking up this big wooden cross and never quite getting how that applies to anything. That's not how it works. Picking up a cross is not something you produce. Picking up a cross is something that's produced in you when you get the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. You receive the word of God. You hear it every day, at least for an hour more if you need to, until it has its positive effect in your life. That's how much you receive. So you make a habit of hearing the word of God every day. If you don't have that habit, I don't care if you're a kid, make it a habit. Why? The fact that you're a kid doesn't mean you don't have a soul. It doesn't mean that you don't have an eternal destiny. It doesn't mean that there's not a perfect will of God for your life and a plan. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have purpose for you just because you're young. God has absolute purpose for you. And the fact that you're a believer and you're young actually is so much better for you than if you became a believer when you were older. You've got so much more opportunity. You don't have a lot of the damage that's done by being an unbeliever and getting saved later in life. You've got a huge advantage. And so God says, receive His word. Young people, receive His word. Take it seriously. You need it. How is it that you're not going to complain? You're not going to do it by your old sin nature, not complaining. You can't make it happen. Because the negativity will be there if the thoughts of God are not. However, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you hear the word of God, you receive the word of God, and it becomes your frame of reference. In other words, it becomes the way that you think. It's the basis of your thoughts. You don't have to try to make it the basis of your thoughts. No, just by having it in your mind, it becomes the basis of your thoughts. It defines reality because it is truth. And so, when you have truth and you're thinking with that truth, then you're not going to be self-oriented because you're thinking with the mind of Christ. And although you cannot get rid of the old sin nature because it's in your DNA, you can get rid of its effects. When the mind of Christ pushes aside, in other words, correct thinking with God, pushes aside the thoughts of the old sin nature because you're replacing them with God's thoughts, now you have a working cross in your life. That's what Galatians 2:20 means when it says, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And then it continues, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, produces God's frame of reference in your life. By the way, when you're thinking with the word of God, that's the bottom line practical definition of faith. You're thinking with God. Now your old sin nature is pushed aside, not eliminated. That can't happen till you go home to be with the Lord. But all its effects can be pushed aside. If you stop receiving the Word of God, then you have nothing to work with and the old sin nature is going to crop up again and try to take over. That's why you constantly need the Word of God. God's solution for complaining is the same as his solution for negativity. It is receiving the Word of God to the point where it pushes aside the old sin nature. Where the old sin nature doesn't have its effect on you. And if you have an isolated moment of failure, you tell God about it and you forsake it and you forget about it. And you just continue. The blood of Christ allows you to do that. You never have to worry about the times you fail. The blood of Christ deals with that. Now, when we complain, we think we can analyze something. We think we can figure things out, and we think that we're not getting what we want as though we had a way of knowing what we want. And there's people out there who will say, well, I know what I want. I know my mind. Follow your heart. That's a big one. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. Good luck with that one. That's nothing to follow. What are your dreams but hopes for the future that don't exist? Follow something that doesn't exist. You see, there's a problem with that. I'm not saying that God doesn't give you your dreams, give you your hopes. He does, but there's a way to do it. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Number one, your desires will be right with Him. And number two, then He can fulfill those desires and you can have them. He's not going to give you things that are sin. He's not going to give you things that will harm you. He's going to give you things that are good for you, that will help you, that will produce joy, that will give you real satisfaction. He'll give you those things. But if you think that apart from His Word, you can figure that out, you're wrong. You can't. Isaiah 1:6 says, the whole head is sick. How do you deal with that? You don't. You can't. The whole heart faints. It's not even capable of achieving anything. That means the frame of reference. The frame of reference will fail you if it's not God's frame of reference. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's a pretty picture. Putrefying is like rotting. You got these sores, these open sores that are rotting. That's kind of gross. And yet that's what God says our natural thinking is like. Our head is sick, our heart faints, it can't sustain us. There's nothing sound in it, nothing competent, nothing complete, nothing whole in it, nothing good in it. It's just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed. So it's an open sore to boot, or bound up, or soothed with ointment. See, negativity, which is why people complain, is not sound thinking. But it is the expression of a sick head and a frame of reference that has failed. People complain, well, I'm just complaining, it makes me feel better. No, the complaining does not make you feel better. It just enhances and magnifies the negativity, and that messes with your emotions pretty badly. It will not make you feel better. I'll guarantee it. It will not make you feel better. It lets you be the attention of things for a little bit, and sometimes people like being the attention of it. But you know what? You grow out of that. Childishness is not good for adults. You grow out of that. If you're 6 years old, it's understandable. If you're 30 years old, it's obnoxious. You grow out of it. Instead of thinking in the negatives, in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, that is, according to the Word of God, John 17:17, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, in other words, they're not defiled, they're not soiled by the worldly thinking, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, virtue is excellence in thinking, if there is any virtue, if there is anything that's praiseworthy, think on these things. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring every thought into captivity. This is what we bring it into captivity of. The things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Those are the things we indulge. The other stuff, we don't indulge it. Simple as that. You don't indulge it. Takes a little bit of discipline at first, and eventually it becomes really easy. You just don't indulge it. Instead, John 15:5 says, keep yourself in the love of God, and let the word of God remain in your frame of reference, and then you will bear much fruit. So you keep yourself in the love of God, in the mercy of God, in the kindness of God. You keep that as your focus. You absolutely have certain, because it's absolutely true, have absolute certainty that God loves you, that He cares about you, that He's interested in you, that you have His attention. Have absolute certainty that He'll always be kind toward you and He'll always be merciful toward you. Keep yourself in that thinking and make sure that the Word of God is in your frame of reference. And then you'll have much fruit. Now, what is the fruit that you'll have? Well, Galatians 5:22 tells us the fruit of the Spirit, and this is the fruit you'll have, is love, joy. Oh, how I would love to be happy. Well, this is how you get there. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And joy does include happiness. Love, joy, peace, no anxiety, long-suffering, which is simply persistent patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what your life is about when you keep yourself in the love of God and the Word of God is in your frame of reference. Now, what do you think is better? Anxiety, negativity, frustration, anger, insecurity, bad self-image, or love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Which do you think you're going to enjoy better? Nobody says to themselves, when I'm an adult, I want to be miserable. I want to be a jerk when I grow up. Nobody says that. But that's what self produces. And that's what happens when negativity comes in. And the more you complain, the bigger the negativity gets, not because the circumstances change. But let's face it, the more you stare at something, and if you bring your face really close to it to see it really clearly, it's going to get really big in your visual field. Instead, let it be really small because you're looking somewhere else. You're looking toward the Savior. You're looking at the promises of God. You're looking at the kindness of God. You're looking that God loves you even though you're a mess. And He still loves you. And His love doesn't change at all. Ever. And when you get there, the negativity kind of falls away. And the difficulties aren't so difficult. And the things that make you miserable, you can't even see them anymore. It's not that they go away. It's that the old sin nature gets pushed aside. Because it's the old sin nature that made you miserable in the first place. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. One of the reasons why people complain, one of the biggest reasons, is they're anxious for something. And circumstances are not working out, or people are not working out the way that they wanted them to. God says, be anxious for nothing. This is your solution to complaining. The cross, yes, but this is what happens when the cross is present. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now, prayer is the prayer about circumstances and for other people. Supplication is prayer for yourself. When you pray for yourself, that's called supplication. Otherwise, it's called prayer. But it's really the same thing. It's just the target is different. So by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, why with thanksgiving? Because thanksgiving protects you from negativity, and negativity is what the enemy projects toward you. He wants you to be negative. Thanksgiving protects you from that. Negativity is very damaging. Thanksgiving is very protective. You gotta wait for a little while? Don't worry about it. You got a difficult situation? Don't worry about it. Thank God for it. Paul says, I glory in tribulations. Why? Because that's when you see God's faithfulness come through. That's where you get to see the power of God. That's where you get to see miracles happen. That's where you get to know God in ways you could never know God. You can actually see His hand moving in tribulations. How are you going to know that God heals people if nobody's ever sick? Somebody gets sick and God heals them, and they get deathly sick and God heals them, and you say, wow. And they're going to say, wow, God really took care of me. How are you going to see God's faithfulness if there's never something where you need Him to be faithful to you? Paul thanked God for his tribulations because that's where he really got to see God move and work and do things, and that's where he really got to experience all that God is. They're not a bad thing. So there's plenty to be thankful about, even in the tribulations. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, which means prayer for the circumstances, prayer for the other people, whatever is involved, and prayer for yourself, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You think you understand your circumstance? The peace of God will be bigger. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Don't complain. Just pray. Complaining cannot solve your problem. It can only increase it. Prayer will solve your problem. There is absolutely nothing that cannot be accomplished by prayer. Doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small. Sometimes people think, well, I'll pray to God about the big things. What does that mean to God, big things? That's a human concept, not a divine concept. I'll never forget flying over the Appalachian Mountains And if you go out into the Appalachian Mountains, they seem fairly tall. I mean, that's a pretty good drive. But you see them from an airplane, you barely notice them. I had to really look closely to see that there were actually mountains there under me. I flew over the Rockies one time, and you could see their mountains, but, you know, flying over them wasn't the problem. That's what prayer does. Prayer takes you above any circumstance, and it brings the solution because it causes the hand of God to move on your behalf. Imagine that you have the ability to get God to do things. Take advantage of that. He wants you to. Don't complain. Pray instead. And that's where you're going to find some great solutions. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."